Welcome to the Wizards of Dapps podcast, where we interview the creators of various decentralized applications in the Web3 ecosystem. We learn about how they are built and the insights that come from shipping. And we're your co-hosts. I'm Peter.
And I'm Bethany.
Today at Wizards of Dapps, we're talking to Nate Geyer of Mintbase. Mintbase is a platform that allows you to mint NFTs, and they've been making some noise recently, as they're about to be one of the first ever dApps, or the first dApp to be funded by Metakato DAO. And yeah, like, you've been demoing and piloting your platform with, you know, conference in Berlin Blockchain Week called Metakato Demo Day, where you're using the NFTs as tickets. And I'd love to dive into that today. You know, I think that's really interesting because I almost feel like we stumbled upon like a new use case for NFTs where they actually like create a lot of engagement as tickets, you know. But before we dive into that, I'd love to dive into, you know, how you came to build Mintbase and why.
Hello, I am Nate Geyer. It's been a heck of a year. So how I got into building Mintbase starts when I was working, the last company I worked with, it was the first time I jumped into the fintech space. It's a company called Bumped. What they do is actually, if you swipe your card at Starbucks, we'll give you fractional shares of publicly traded stock as a reward. So basically, you buy a coffee, we'll give you 0.0021 shares of Starbucks stock. I was hands-on with the clearing firms, which is the group that actually manages. They're just basically a trusted database that says you have 5 shares of Starbucks because we say you do. And so I was deep into that land, and I just saw how painful it is working with the traditional system like that. And I've been in cryptocurrency since Bitcoin hit its first 1,000 mark. I think that was about 2014. So finally, when the price spiked in Ether again, I was able to switch my role from that company to advisor and basically started traveling the world and trying to figure out what I could build, because there's just has to be a better way to interact with settlement layers.
Right. Out of all these areas around DeFi, with DeFi, you know, DAOs and, you know, tokens in Ethereum, why did you decide to really like focus on NFTs?
So my background is in building stuff. First company I built was a corporate training platform. It's like it allowed anyone to come in and create their own training courses. Let's say the front desk staff of like a 3,000 plus chain hotel was the best at what they did. I built a really simple interface to allow them to build their own course that said, this is how I do my first, this is what I do on my day, this is how you make a bed. Then I worked for Nike for a bit, which focused on another builder, which allowed anyone to customly build their own shoes. So say someone liked a really like Roshi shoe, they could tap the shoelaces, turn it to yellow, turn the outside from suede to leather, put their name on it. So custom builders was kind of my thing. And so with NFTs, I just love the visual aspect and the ability to bind metadata. Originally, the next builder I wanted to kind of build was kind of like a GitHub for legal contracts, but I just, as much as I want to do that, I just think Ethereum's not ready for that yet. So,
yeah.
But how I got into the NFT space, I just love that you can peg metadata to it and do a lot of interesting things, like just seeing CryptoKitties do its thing. It's just, I think that might even be one of our first easy adoption routes, because people get what an image is. But how I got into this thing is what I want to do is build another builder, like an interface that allows anyone to create their own non-fungible tokens. And then slowly, I think people will start getting that as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, the next big thing will start out looking like a toy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think like NFTs are insanely interesting because you can compose them and, you know, either completely subjective to, I guess, our perceived value of them, right? You know, it's really just like numbers and data, right? When it comes down to exactly what's pegged to those collectibles, right? But then, you know, we can interpret them in any way, shape, or fashion.
Yeah, when you restrict it all down, it comes down to 3 different things that an NFT gives us. It gives us digital ownership, it gives us digital scarcity, and it gives us interoperability. So when you understand those 3 aspects and why that's unique on the normal traditional web, then you start to really go down the rabbit hole of like, oh man, we're just beginning. I think it's always hilarious when I tell people, they come to me, everyone loves these prediction markets and all these like really mathematical systems. And then they always ask me what I'm building. I'm like, oh, it's an NFT builder. as I say shamefully, because no one really respects respects that. But they, I don't think they understand quite the vision of where NFTs are heading with those three variables and building a little port to onboard not so technical people. I think that there's going to be just a huge market for it.
Absolutely. You know, I think NFTs are an aspect today in which we can begin exploring how they can create like 10x value. And we're beginning to touch upon that with like, you know, using NFTs as tickets to conferences. I'd love to dive into, when did you start building Mintbase?
I quit my job in March of 2018. I put all my stuff in storage, gave my motorcycle to a friend, and nice. My mom has my Jeep. And so I've just been traveling, was in Indonesia for quite a while, went to Thailand and Chiang Mai and Singapore, South Africa, and a few other spots. And just every place I went, I would go to a blockchain meetup or a conference or something, just to kind of wrap my head around what people are building. Because this is a decentralized technology. We're all over the world. It's no longer just a Silicon Valley thing. So I basically built probably 30 different applications. All of them were just wouldn't work in today's market just because I was just learning. I wanted to learn Plasma. I wanted to learn, you know, Web3, and did the whole like crypto zombies thing and got into the Truffle land. And it's been a giant learning curve. But where I actually got into building Mintbase was I ended up going to DevCon 4 hackathon in Prague and won first prize for a really simple prototype, which was essentially an NFT builder. So let's say a coffee shop owner mints a free coffee NFT, and then they can set a threshold of like $50. So, and I pegged a user's debit or credit card, a traditional debit or credit card, by hooking up with Plaid. That token automatically gets allocated to that user's wallet based on their traditional spending. So it was pretty identical to what Bumped was doing. It was spend with your debit or credit card, and then the reward just gets automatically allocated to your wallet.
Right.
That was the vision for Mintbase originally. And then I couldn't convince myself that I can convince a bunch of blockchain folks to enter their bank details into a single sign-on. It's really easy, but I just basically stripped it all down to the simplest form of right now. It's just a minter and a marketplace. And eventually the allocation method of how those mints get to customers is going to be the next focus.
Would you like to tell us about, you know, what your first pilot was with Mintbase? You know, you have this NFT minting platform that allows people to, you know, allows vendors to really mint NFTs and sell them and manage them, right? And mint more, do inventory management on NFTs essentially, right? And then it's also a POS system for people to buy NFTs, right? Through not only desktop, but through mobile experiences. Would you like to tell us about how you piloted this platform with the NFT tickets, right? For the conference.
You were the first use case. We definitely pushed up the launch to mainnet for these. And I couldn't have been happier. It really pushed a lot of code the last few weeks. Watching you actually mint those tickets was a very special moment for me, because actually seeing it work, it's definitely buttoned up a lot more since then. But yeah, seeing the community get pretty excited about it too.
Would you like to actually, you know, explain like what happened and why we piloted this? So for more context, right, for our viewers and listeners, right? So we had this conference in Berlin Blockchain that's coming up actually, you know, called Metacartel Demo Day, right? It's Metacartel's community conference focused around dApp development, right? And I, you know, I guess like being one of the main organizers, I didn't want to just like throw out an Eventbrite, right? And, you know, so I was like, hey, you know, we have this, you know, guy, you know, in the co-working space known as Fullnode, sitting pretty much right next to me, like building this cool NFT minting platform. Let's actually like use NFTs as tickets, right? And then get, you know, Stefan Signai, you know, an artist from SuperRare, which I met previously online, get some of his help, right, to then like put some artwork, right, of Metacartel on these tickets, right? So it's not only a ticket, but it's almost like a piece of artwork. And it's a GIF. He kind of like created like, you know, several variations of these artworks with GIFs, right? So they're all animated and, you know, there are various little twists on them, right? And, you know, I guess like we took those art pieces of art, right, and we made them tickets. And then I approached you with the idea of doing that. What was that like?
It was good. It was definitely you took a risk on it. That's for sure. Because NFTs are NFTs. You have to have blockchain to buy one. So it's definitely a risky situation. I remember one guy tweeted saying, this tickets, they my finance team can't figure out how to buy them. And right, if they do, they just took a picture, a screenshot of what it looked like as the invoice and all this sort of stuff. So it's fascinating seeing that kind of critique. But then what you're gaining, I think, out of it is the experimentation. And that's what blockchain is. Right now, we're in full experimentation mode. If we're too scared to start playing with some of the dApps right now, then yeah, it's going to be a tough go. I think the more the community kind of like takes chances on that random guy in the corner of Full Node just randomly plugging away, like the yeah, the better. And there's a lot more of them in there right now. So
right,
yeah, it's important.
That's a pretty inspiring message, actually. Yeah, you talked about how people kind of like, you know, kind of dismisses the fact that you're building like an NFT minter, right? Like there's all these people solving sexy crypto economic problems and such. And, you know, I think like people really underestimate how hard it is to build something that works, especially like an NFT minting platform. You know, would you like to dive into exactly like all the edge cases and the engineering problems you actually had to solve to enable this NFT buying experience, I guess?
I was a good last minute option that I went. So I'm heavily using the Google Cloud infrastructure. It's amazing. The last company I worked with, we literally built our own event sourcing system, which I'm know if anybody's familiar with that. It's some call it CQRS, command query response. But the main point is it's intense. The Google Cloud structure, though, I'm using the PubSub model, which allows for me to constantly be feeding any sort of Ethereum events and just shoving it into a data fire hose, basically. And then it's just constantly updating using my Google Cloud functions, and my interface just updates as it goes. What all that means is I was able to easily show real-time ticket sales to users that weren't connected to an Ethereum node. So you can send them a link on Telegram and you immediately see the availability of your tickets. You click into the ticket and you're staring at the availability number. If someone across, you know, the world ends up buying one of those tickets, you'll see the number immediately go down, which I think is really neat. That's a really big important step for adoption as well. It's because we can get non-crypto users at least two more steps into the system. And so I'm also extremely excited about this deep linking that Coinbase Wallet and Trust Wallet have. I'm going to explore other ones. But if you go in and you click the ticket and you're off and it just opens up Safari, you can see the ticket, you can click buy now. A window will pop up and say, oh, we noticed you're on mobile. Do you want to open this ticket up in the Trust Wallet or the Coinbase Wallet? And as soon as you click that, it'll immediately open up to the dApp browser and you'll be able to buy the ticket from the wallet within like three clicks. To me, that's like having that off, that nice like balance between traditional infrastructure and blockchain is super important. I think the whole idea of going full decentralized is just exhausting and just no way a thing. I think learning about understanding what real value you want out of blockchain and doing is leveraging as much as you possibly can. For me, it's the interoperability aspect. That's why I chose to do everything on layer one. As much as I love POA and all these other networks, Coinbase Wallet or Trust Wallet, all these other beautiful wallets that are now accepting collectibles aren't interacting with those systems. So what I really wanted is to have these assets be generated on Mintbase and have them fluidly flow throughout the Ethereum ecosystem. And the redeeming aspect is going to be a simple QR code that it'll be about three different QR codes, one for Coinbase Wallet, one for Trust Wallet, one for just a simple. The main idea is it's going to deep link into one of these wallets. You pick it and then it'll open up and it'll basically check to see, okay, yes, you are the owner. Yes, it hasn't been checked in prior. And we can go into that later.
Yeah, I think it was pretty impressive. Like basically I came to you like a month before we wanted to launch the tickets. I was like, hey, why don't we use this for the demo day? I was actually going to use Ratty cards, NFT kind of like e-cards, kind of gift card, kind of like dApp, right? Built by other members of the Meta Cartel. And it was just like, hey, you know, you're dedicating all this time. Let's go view. It'll be fun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And when we were about very close to launch, right? We had like various hiccups, you know, it was almost like, you know, let's just like ship it. I was pretty much like pushing you to just like, you know, ship it out there, even an imperfect version. And it was definitely like a challenge, a technical challenge to get this live in the hands of real users.
There was no navigation, I think, at that point. There was no marketplace at that point. It was just a simple Pez dispenser that It wasn't in the best condition, but I think we pushed it out right at the perfect time and seems to be working. You've sold, what, over 120 tickets at this point?
Around 120, yeah.
That's really neat to see that. And a lot of the feedback has been, I don't know, a few of the tweets were, only took me a few seconds or a few clicks to purchase. Nice job. Like, I love seeing that kind of stuff. And the other really neat part is to add on to that interoperability aspect of being able to have this ticket fluidly move throughout layer one, is that one person in the wild. So I've been harping on this since I started building the system, but it was really neat actually seeing another person do this without any influence. But he just said, hey, I can't make it to the demo day. I just popped this NFT on OpenSea. You can purchase it with DAI or something for 25% off. Like, that to me is the future. It's being able to move an asset around fluidly. And it's not just going to be tickets. It's going to be redeemable rewards. It's going to be all sorts of really fun stuff.
The thing that really I find really interesting with these, like with this experiment, right, is the fact that people just naturally shed the tickets. We had some really awesome cool art. I'm going to post the art and the link to the market below in the description of this podcast. But there was some crazy, you know, amazing art done by Stefan. Love Art Hate, right? That's his pseudonym. Along with the collectible aspect and the ability to really fully own something, right? Really played into the fact that how like naturally everyone just started to share the artwork and share like screenshots of owning this ticket. It was truly like a replication and of that physical aspect, you know, how people like buy a ticket or buy something and they take a photo of it holding it. People took photos and, you know, I mean, took screenshots of the tickets in their wallet. And it's like, hey, I'm ready and set, ready to go to demo day, et cetera. I think that was a really interesting aspect of the using NFTs as tickets to, say, a physical event. What did you find the most surprising when people started to buy this and, you know, interact with it?
What was most surprising?
Yeah. What did you learn the most?
Just the fact that the tickets were getting bought. You can like visualize a thing for several months, but actually seeing it get in use. The other surprising thing was the Twitter response. I've never been all that active in Twitter. And all of a sudden it's just like, hey, people are interacting with the whole, like literally I spent more time on Twitter that month and tweeted the most that I haven't probably since I've had it since 2009. That was the surprise.
From like building the product and then like initially being rushed to get this live. What kind of advice would you give to other like first time or dApp developers, right? They're looking to like ship something and get it into the hands of real people.
Don't wait to TDD your smart contracts. And if you're learning how to write smart contracts, I think I waited too long and I was just constantly deploying and seeing if it worked, deploying and seeing if it worked. Eventually I just broke down and just started just writing. I mean, Truffle has made it stupidly easy to unit test those contracts. I'm using OpenZeppelin. So I'm writing, using their library for the contract factory. We'll be open sourcing the entire contract factory probably in the next couple of weeks. Right now, I'm just catching my breath from deploying that.
Yeah.
Last, 3 weeks ago? And then now I had to fly back to California to sell my motorcycle. That's another interesting story. I think by next week, I'll be able to just settle down and get that open source and TDD those contracts. It's a really amazing way to learn how a lot of like the conversion, math conversion utils work and all that sort of stuff.
Well, as we're approaching demo day, you know, you've been approached by other projects that want to use Mintbase for other means, right? You've talked to an author about like how you could mint some NFTs and then distribute them as a representation to get a free book. And recently, yesterday, you know, we had someone from the Metacartel Ven, right? He printed out, he minted an NFT, a birthday card NFT, and sent it to, you know, James Young because it was his birthday, right?
Nice.
What are some other use cases that you'd like to see Mintbase experiment with, at least like, you know, or build for?
So what I'm pitching right now, I don't know if I can say a company, but a sizable shoe company. So say you're customizing a shoe. What I want to be able to say is, okay, you customize the shoe, it's your shoe. I want the company to mint, let's say 50 tokens. And these are free build tokens. Like, this is what I really think would be the nice next experimentation is actually combining physical with these NFTs. But basically, let's say the shoe company mints 50 items and they want to experiment with how to release these things. They can send it to, you know, 20 to an advertising agency. They can send 10 to different influencers, and then they can distribute these free shoe build tokens. So then they would go out and run their own campaigns. It would all be unique. Let's say post your favorite surfing picture on my wall and I'll send you a free shoe build. And the redeeming factor, I think, is non-consequential. I think if you have the token within the browser, you can go build your shoe the way normal people do it. And then as soon as you click checkout, the browser could just instantly say, hey, we noticed you have a free shoe build card. It could just check, okay, do you have Web3? Yes or no? If no, then just do a normal checkout process experience that other people do. But if yes, we can write a little like interface flag that says, oh, we noticed you have this card. Would you like to use this rather than pay with the normal system? So if you think about it, what we're building is like a stable coin for items or for assets. One shoe build will equate to a one shoe build. And then that shoe build can just run around the Ethereum ecosystem. People can resell them on OpenSea Exchange. People can, I don't know, maybe you can create a video game that says, if you have this pair of shoe free build, you know, you get an extra like 15 swords or who knows what. Or maybe like competing shoe companies can start accepting those shoes at even like a greater discount and get an extra t-shirt. This is like the time where I'm really excited about starting to like experiment with what we can do. So the first step was build the mentor done, build a market done. Now it's all right. Now it's time to focus and narrow in what to actually really tackle.
I like the pragmaticism.
Yep.
Cool. I think that's really like, you know, what I really wanted to dive into today. You know, we kind of went into and talked about the whole experience of like shipping this for a real life conference. Is there anything you'd like to talk about, you know, or mention or kind of summarize with your progress and with Mintbase?
Yeah, it's definitely narrowing the focus down. I'm starting to talk with some VCs. I'm trying to go the very traditional route. As much as I want to ICO and make hundreds of billions of dollars, and I want to do this the right way. Right now, I haven't raised any funds, so it's all self-funded from the Ethereum spike. And the goal is register a company. So I'm debating on whether to register the company in Estonia, Portugal, or in Delaware in the US. We're just doing a ton of research on where to register the company. We're finding Estonia is a fascinating spot to do that because to actually live there, they have a digital residency. But Portugal is really the place that I want to build the company. It's got great waves. I'm a surfer. That's my world. It's a beautiful city. And I met a girl in Berlin, so I can't go too far to the US. But on the other side, it depends on where I want to take the company later on, because obviously there's some benefits if you do it in Delaware.
Cool.
That's the next couple of weeks. And then so narrowing use cases, registering the company and starting to raise funds and obviously constantly building little features.
It's been super interesting. And, you know, I think we'll do closely work together on this. Thank you for coming on board, you know, this week to talk about your experiences and share what you've learned, right?
Yeah, thanks for betting on me.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
If you enjoyed what you listened to and are interested in supporting this podcast, then please follow us on Twitter at Wizard of Dapps. The show notes will be on our website, and if you want to continue the conversation, join our Telegram group. All links will be in the episode description. Thanks for listening.